Here's what happened last time on Just Critting Around Podcast.
If you guys don't get out of here right now, you're going to have more bad guys on you for sure, and it's going to get a lot messier.
I'm going to look at the rest of the team, and I go, we need to get out of here. We need to make an exit. So Grogan looks at Max, and he goes, you there, Horse Bean. I need you to take this group and make a retreat for that door, and I will fend off these guys. So I'm going to like stop right in front of the door so that the people that are approaching the building can see me.
I don't think there's any way I can protect Grogan at this point. So I think I'm going to try and head towards the back door, towards a safer path.
Okay.
One briny tear rolls down my cheek as I realize what I must do, even though I don't want to do it. And I use my movement to run out that door, the back door.
I'm going to take about 30 feet backwards to get away from it, back towards the door near Max and Balin Picklefist.
Hey! That one looks like he's got balls! Bring him to me!
You want these balls? I'll give you these balls!
What adventure and hijinks awaits our party as they venture into the unknown? Stay tuned to find out.
Welcome to Just Critting Around, a live play 5e Dungeons & Dragons campaign. I am your Dungeon Master, Brian Dukes. Let's get to know our cast, who are going to share a little bit about their characters, and then I'll share a little bit about myself.
Hey guys, this is Erin. I play Lea Aurora Jimvale, a half-elf warlock. Fun fact about Lea Aurora, the dulcimer was not the first instrument that she wanted to play. Initially, she 100% wanted to play the flute, but she was absolutely horrible and had elven asthma and could not play it, so her parents recommended that she went to the dulcimer to boost her self-esteem.
What differentiates elven asthma from any other asthma?
You know, the elven asthma, there are different variations of it. You have the wood elven asthma that is triggered by the trees and nature. You have the drow elven asthma that is triggered by moonlight. And then you have half elven asthma that just, she struggles all through the day, all through the night, and can't figure shit out. So her parents are like, baby, you struggling. Here's a dulcimer.
Oh, man, that's getting added to the next D&D source book, I feel.
I hope they have a section for pet dander elven asthma, because those elven pets be making me sneeze.
All this talk of asthma has me wanting to take my inhaler, so pardon me a moment.
Nerd!
Nerd!
Living in the deep south of North Carolina, I've had to take 3 puffs of my inhaler this week alone, so I'm not okay.
All right, everyone. I am Brandon, and I play Waylon Picklefist, a human monk who has a love for pickles. So what you may not know about Waylon is that there is a reason why his skin looks so supple in his muscles.
Muscles?
His muscles.
His
muscles.
His muscles.
That's what he calls him, his muscles. His muscles look so big. And that is directly attributed to the amount of pickles that he eats. I don't know if you guys know this, but Cleopatra used to devote herself to the pickles, which she attributed to making her look young and youthful.
Bullshit.
While Caesar and Napoleon thought that pickles built muscle. Look it up. It's true. I'm not going to lie to any of you.
I will not stand for this pro-pickle propaganda.
These are real, real things.
I have a question. Does Waylon eat other things besides pickles?
I mean, have you seen him eat anything other than pickle?
All right, I stand, I yield my time.
So he's like on a pickle keto diet thing? Like a vegan pickle?
Yeah, keto? He likes to enter pictosis.
Get out.
It's called the pedo diet.
Ooh, I don't know. Don't like that. We don't like that.
No.
We will pass on that one.
Nope. God. You have been bought and paid for by Big Pickle. Vlasic owns you. Just admit it and we can all move on.
We round the corner and the stork is handing him a bag of cash.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, God.
I'm Jay. I play Max Horsepower. I am a warforged druid, a wood and metal made living construct, and my head looks much like that of a horse. Fun fact about Max, with all this music talk, Max knows how to play an instrument. He can play the pan flute. Not very well, but he can play. And while he was protector of his local forest before joining up with our band of merry adventurers, he was actually in a band, Max Horsepower and the Max Horsepower 7.
Get out.
Which was three birds and two cats.
Yes!
And a cicada and a beaver who thumped his tail on Max's body to provide the rhythm. So, and for a while they were the house band for Conan, by which I mean there was a barbarian named Conan whose house was next to the band's practice space.
I would imagine with a cicada, did they ever dabble into screamo?
I mean, you know, music genres are pretty subjective in the first place. So when you're listening to a bunch of wildlife in the woods, you can call it, I'd call it experimental.
Ah.
Yeah.
So Warforged asthma does not exist.
No. No, it does not.
The only bad thing about having a cicada in your band is that they only show up for gigs once every 17 years.
I'm going to edit in the snare drum and for that.
Do it.
Thanks, Beaver.
I'm Joe, and I play Grogan. So I don't want to jump on the musical bandwagon, but I just do want to throw a shout out there to all my pan flute players, because Grogan also plays the pan flute. It's on my...
What?
Yes, sir. So maybe after we're done here, we can start a jam band. That'd be sweet. Maybe we can do the Max Horsepower and Grogan Super Trojan or something. I don't know. We all hide in a big wooden horse and just roll in and just surprise pan flute attack. I don't know what a pan flute sounds like, so... There you go.
As a horse creature, I find this reference to being inside a Trojan horse to be quite offensive.
Well, on that fun fact, Grogan used to enjoy hiding inside giant wooden animals to sneak attack local villages. He would hang out with his death cult, and they're like, "What do you guys feel like hiding in this week?" And sometimes it was a big horse. Other times, one time it was like an eagle. But that one didn't work out so well because they actually pushed it off a cliff thinking they can fly. And, well, let's just say Grogan's one of the few survivors of that incident. So, but yeah, anyway, after this, definitely pan flute jam band.
I just keep thinking of Jethro Tull for some reason. Just people on pan flutes wearing goat leggings or dressed up like satyrs. Oh, my God. All right, I'm Brian. I'm your Dungeon Master. I keep... forgetting to inform our audience, that's you guys listening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Hit like and subscribe. Right, it's just us. But I thank you anyways. I keep forgetting to say that this is a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign that is set in Forgotten Realms, and we're currently on the continent of Faerun. So that is not really a fun DM fact, but I will say that this week I was going on a walk here in Chicago where I live, and it's the weather here is beautiful because summers are really nice and I can breathe very well. So, suck it.
You're a real piece of shit. Man. I just want you to know that. For those of us who live in a hot ass money south, you're a real just dog bloke of a piece of shit.
I escaped. I escaped.
And we miss you.
So can you. All right. Oh my gosh. I miss you guys too. All right. So with that being said, we are going to kick things off tonight with our next episode. That will be Chapter 1, Episode 6, entitled Running with the Devil.
Grogan's often in a dour mood. Waylon loves that sour food. Make sure her dulcimer's tuned. It's the horrible folks of Faerun. One
wanderer wanders cause his house was doomed. Max is a weird looking horsehead dude. Mallory Frost are gathered the crew. It's the horrible folks of Faerun.
We are back in the demolished ruins of Liam's Hold. The adventurers being a bit too noisy in their deliberations on how to handle the passed out young woman that they found cowering in a cupboard. They attracted the attention of one of the raider patrols and immediately battle ensued. A pitched fight was waged, but the party could not overcome their attackers. And Balin Picklefist was the first.
Oh my god, stop!
So Waylon and Leah and Max make the tactical decision to retreat, starting to run out the back door, whereas Grogan bravely walked out the front door and is facing down a second patrol that has arrived as reinforcements to the initial patrol. The party has to figure out what to do, how they can escape Liam's Hold safely, what they're going to do with the villager that has suddenly appeared and then passed out, who they have also decided to collectively abandon, I just want to say.
I just want to say she stabbed me in the chest, so...
We put her back somewhere safe,
yeah.
As far as we knew.
You did not. You tried to fold her up and stuff her in a cupboard, and it failed.
We could have just left her out as bait.
You pretty much did that anyway.
Last time I checked, anyway. She wasn't bit, stabbed, kicked, or spit on, so safe.
Wow. All right. Your alignments will be shifting at some point. Anyhow, Grogan, you walk past. There is only one warg and one raider remaining inside the dining hall. And there's now roughly, I would say, 50 feet between the party, who is at like the rear of the wreckage of the dining hall, kind of right there at the door, ready to bolt out. And Grogan, who is standing in the doorway, the front doorway of the dining hall, facing down a group of five raiders, two of which are on wargs. So I'm going to ask you each what you want to do, like real quick, kind of like a quick action before we determine whether or not we need to jump back into yet another potentially deadly round of combat. So we're going to save Grogan for last because I'm very interested in what you've come up with. So we'll start with Waylon. What are you doing as you see what's happening?
I mean, aside from crying, I'm just so sad to see my guy just stand up and take one for the team. So I am in the doorway. Last I recall, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and so how far are the enemies from me?
There is the one raider that's still left inside the dining hall. He's probably 15 feet away. Mm-hmm. There's the last warg that's left inside, and that one is probably 20 feet away. Mm-hmm. And then it is like a full, from you to the front part of the dining hall is like another, like a full 50 feet to where Grogan currently is.
And we are all still in combat?
For right now, combat is kind of suspended as we're taking this dramatic beat to all watch Grogan march to his possible demise. And then we'll, you know, depending on what you guys do with this one, like, free action, we might get back into combat or we might not.
Okay. I, in the doorway, my back is to Grogan and I look over my shoulder and I say, "Grogan, catch!" And I throw him a pickle spear.
Oh my god, why do we throw anything on this show? Let's see, we're just gonna have you both make dexterity checks, so just roll your dexterity ability or your dexterity scores. So just you can roll a d20 and add your dexterity modifier to it.
Okay, I got a 15.
That would be a 14.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah, the throw is good and true. And Grogan, you see it, and you, bam, you snatch it.
Yeah, okay. You know what? I'm gonna leave it there. I'm gonna leave it there.
All right. So you now have a pickle spear.
I nod at Pickle Fist. Thanks, Pickle Man. And give him one of these, even though I'm not wearing a hat.
Nobody can see that.
Yeah, I know. They can use their imagination, Brian.
He just put his thumb on his nose and waggled his fingers. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, I checked my booty in the camera and I was like, nah, nah. Yeah.
Waylon says, man, that guy really knows how to show his appreciation.
All right, Leah, what are you doing?
Leah is going to step directly behind Picklefist, having seen this stellar spear toss, and she's just going to be kind of lined up, ready to do whatever's necessary. One direction she can attack, the other direction she can run. She has no bias.
No bias. Literally does not care if you all die or not. Okay.
Hey, I'm right here. I'm in the middle.
All right, Max, what are you doing?
Max is muted.
I think Max is muted.
He's, yep.
He's a little hoarse.
Oh my god.
Leah, give yourself inspiration.
Yeah, I've already got
it. Already has it.
Already wait, can I keep
can
I give
her
it again?
Inspiration.
Can I give it again?
No.
Dang.
Can Grogan have
this is a non-renewable resource. You got to use these. All right, Max, what are you doing?
Is Grogan injured?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure everyone's taking damage except you, Max.
Okay. All right. Well, as Grogan is heading out the door, you said he's 50 feet away. So
he's
I can
50 feet.
So I can cast Healing Word, which has a 60-foot range.
Hell yeah.
Oh.
Damn.
So I'm going to cast Healing Word. And Grogan is going to get 4 points of health.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent.
Make us proud, buddy.
You guys.
How many spell slots do you have left, Max? I think that might be it.
That's it for first level, but I have cantrips I can cast.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. Then now the camera pans to Grogan, whose wounds kind of seal themselves up a little bit. The damage is healed, and you're feeling this kind of zest of life kind of enter your lungs for a brief moment as you are facing down this patrol that has just arrived on the scene. All eyes on you, Grogan. What are you doing?
All eyes on me. Well, that song comes on, and immediately I get a little bit of pep in my step. So I'm standing in the doorway. Have the approaching enemies spotted me yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Let me ask you this, DM. This jewel that was talking to me a couple episodes back, is this thing still able to talk to me?
It's not a jewel.
Whatever.
It's a key.
Ah.
Made of bone.
The bone key, that's right. All right, so as I exit, I pull out the bone key, and then also I reach under my shirt and rip off my dragon tooth necklace, and I use, oh god, what's it called? I use some Firbolg magic, and I grow to the immense size of one extra foot, and I go, hey! I say, dickheads! I told you, Grogan's bad at fighting. I'm secretly a pacifist. And I say, you can take me, but you can't take my friends. And I was like, or you can have these things. And I present them the key, and I present them the toothy necklace to see if I could buy my way out of this slight predicament while hopefully my friends make the smart choice of leaving. And I do have +4 to intimidation, so just want to throw that out there.
All right, that's a lot. Okay, mm-hmm. So you... Oh my god.
Brian's like, and this is where you die.
The raiders look at you just kind of perplexed. They're not sure what to make of you.
Mm-hmm.
And they start to close in, and then you hear the voice of the leader who has closed the distance, and he's just maybe 20 feet behind this rank of raiders. And he says,
that's the thing I was looking for.
What were you looking for? This or this? And I present the key or the necklace. I'm kind of standing like the serial killer from fucking Silence of the Lambs. Like, would you fuck me? You know? Yeah, you know it. At least I'm dressed.
God.
And that music's playing.
It's quite the visual. Almost 9-foot Grogan.
I've seen it before.
So kind of like shoving aside the other raiders who make room for their leader, you see this creature who is wearing chainmail and a shield and has this really wicked looking longsword at his side. He has not drawn his weapons. They're just there. All of you can see this because you're looking out through the doorway. Everyone make a history check.
I got a natural 20.
I got a 6.
12.
13.
Okay. So, Grogan, you're not exactly, like, you don't know what kind of creature this is. It's kind of rolling around in your mind. It's like, you're one of those. The rest of you, though, know that this is a hobgoblin.
Hmm.
And with a natural 20 roll, Max, you know that hobgoblins can be very deadly in melee combat. So this one definitely kind of seems to walk and carry themselves with that level of confidence and assuredness, especially when they're backed up by, you know, a bunch of their pals.
And he has pumpkin bombs.
And he has...
Oh, Spider-Man reference there.
The hobgoblin takes like a half step forward and points at you, Grogan, and just kind of looks you up and down and says, hey, what's your name?
And I go, Grogan, what's your name?
Me? I'm Bibrib the Ripper. Special thanks to listener Peter Varga for that incredible name. For the first boss of the campaign.
Oh, snap.
And Bibrib says, where'd you get that key?
You know, I would gladly tell you, but I don't give information for free, Big Rigs. So how about we make a deal and you get the information, and maybe, if you're lucky, you get the key as well.
He looks at you and just starts laughing. Kill him. Everyone roll initiative.
No.
I got a 12.
I rolled a 1.
I also got a 12.
16.
Oh, shit. Here we go. Lee is about to start popping skulls again.
All right. The bad guys rolled a 19. So they're going to go first.
Bye, guys.
So here's what happens. The warg that was in the dining hall, it dashes over towards the last raider that is also in the dining hall, and the raider hops on. So those two kind of, you know, reform a complete unit. They pull a transformer.
Ugh, it's a Voltron.
Yeah, I was going to say Voltron too, but, you know.
All right. You have a total of 6 bad guys in like a semicircle, like they're an improv team about to warm up.
The most right. dangerous foe in the improv team. Yes.
They're about to do wrap.
They're about
death.
To do wrap our behinds.
Yep, they're about to do a really shitty round of frogs.
Or a very angry zip zap zop.
Yeah, they rip out my heart and hand it to the other guy and go, "Thank you, Red Ball."
The first one comes over and he is going to attempt to stab at you, and he does that with his long sword. And let's see, that just hits you with a 15, Grogan. He does 3 points of damage to you. And then the second bad guy, he is also going to close up the distance and take a swipe at you with his axe, but that one misses. The third one is also going to take a swipe at you with his sword. That misses. The fourth one is going to also take a swipe at you with a battle axe. And that, unfortunately, that does hit you at a 19. And he does 2 points of damage. So not a ton. The fifth and the sixth one is Bibrib. The fifth one rides the warg past you to go try to fight your friends. So if you want, you can take a swipe as an attack of opportunity as they as it runs past.
Oh no. Oh yeah. Sorry, attack of opportunity. Yes. Yeah. Hell yeah. I'll swipe at him.
Make a rapier attack.
I roll an 11.
All right. That just kind of glances off of the warg's naturally thick leathery skin, and it just kind of like barks at you as it goes past. Bibrib takes. He just like slowly takes his shield and puts it on. And he slowly draws out his sword, and he's just standing there, kind of in an athletic stance, just kind of like ready. Now we go to our party of adventurers. Leah, you are up first with a 16.
I was 100% ready to either attack or run out the door, but since Big Boy Warg is coming at me and my friends, like, you know that I gotta hit him with that Eldritch Blast, so I line it up and I shoot the Eldritch Blast.
Alright, so there are two wargs and two warg riders coming at you guys by the back door. So just say, like, the first one or the second one. The second one is going to be the newest arrived one.
The first one that's coming towards us that Grogan just hit with an opportunity of attack.
Yeah, go ahead. Fire away.
Does an 18 hit?
Were you aiming at the warg or the rider?
The warg.
Yeah, that hits. Roll your damage.
8 damage.
All right. Leaves a nice mark on the warg, and it kind of howls in pain. And it does not look happy. Anything else you're going to do?
You better not use that language with your mother.
Okay. Now we get to Grogan. So, Grogan, because you kind of did a lot on your turn, you have a rapier in your right hand. You've got the key and the dragon talon necklace in your left hand. And then somewhere in the mix of all that stuff, you have a pickle spear. So...
He caught it with his teeth. How?
Well, then he ate it. So yeah, you're going to want to like either put some stuff away or drop some stuff or whatever you want to do.
All right, I'm dropping the pickle spear. Sorry, buddy. So I'm holding the key right now. Now, I asked this earlier. Does the key still respond to me? Like
you can use your action to try to speak with the key.
Nah, I'm not gonna do that. I feel like that's a shifty maneuver. All right, so I'm gonna look. Yeah, it's just what the DM wants me to do. You bloodthirsty cow. Anyway, so I'm gonna. So Grogan looks at Big Rig or whatever his name is. I hold the key like. Towards him, like in his face, and I go, stop attacking us. Let's talk about this, all right? Let's talk about this, or I'm gonna bring the fucking pain of 1,000 death cults down upon you, all right? So what do you want? You want death, or do you want to get your treasure, whatever this leads to?
All right, so are you gonna try to intimidate it?
Yeah, I'm rolling intimidation for this. And that's a 17.
Didn't like six plus guys four. Just swing their weapons at you in the last
yeah,
round?
Yeah, I matrix dodged both of those. So that's a 21 with my plus four intimidation.
Alright, he rolled a 19. He is not intimidated.
Damn it. Fine. For my bonus action, I snap the key in half.
Make a athletics check.
Okay. 17 again.
The key does not budge.
Yeah! So Grogan's going, oh shit! And now I'm embarrassed. I strayed so hard, I let a squeaker go. Maybe Giglib okay. has a sense of humor.
We're gonna go to Waylon. It's your turn, followed by Max.
Okay, so I am going to push past Leah and Max, and I'm going to start sprinting toward the wargs, and I am going to try to jump kick the rider of the warg that Leah hit with her Eldritch Blast off of the warg.
Now she did hit the warg.
I know. I'm trying to get the rider off of the warg. Okay. So I'm going to jump kick the rider.
Go ahead and make an attack roll.
That's a 20. Dirty 20.
Okay, that is gonna hit, so go ahead and roll your damage.
5.
That hits him, and make an athletics check.
6.
You hit him pretty, you know, pretty solidly, but he's able to maintain control. He's got the reins that are around this very primitive riding harness on the warg, so he does not get unseated.
All right, well, F this dude, because I am graceful and strong and powerful and beautiful. So after I kick him, I'm going to land, and I'm going to jump up and kick him again with my bonus action, because homie don't play that. If I kick you, you fall off your mount.
Roll again. Make your attack roll.
7.
Oh, man, your opening move was like Bruce Lee poetry in motion, but then you land, and you try to jump kick him again, and unfortunately... you just kind of like, your foot hits him and then he doesn't budge and you just kind of fall back in place.
How are your abs so strong?
Raider life, you must work out a lot. All right. Anything else, Waylon?
Nope. I'm just going to land and, you know, kind of take my free action of shame again.
Yeah, it's a free action to cry or be ashamed. All right, so go ahead and Max, it is now your go.
Max is Max was 100% ready to get out of this building, but apparently we're not doing that. Max is going to march towards the two warg riders and pound his fist against his shield. And say, you two, over here.
Okay.
And take a defensive stance in front of them.
Make an intimidation check.
Okay. I got a 21.
Ooh. Okay. So the giant metal and wood construct just kind of comes, you know, clomping back into the fray. And as you smash on your shield... All four of them, the two riders and the wargs, look at you, and you now have their attention for the moment.
Right on.
As they seem like, okay, this might be more of a threat than this jumpy flea one and little itty bitty thing blasting in the back. Okay, so it's grim. It is real grim. Bibrib kind of lets out a war cry. And he starts just swinging his sword and his shield. It's like he's like winding up into this power strike that's going to be taking the head clean off of Grogan's shoulders.
I imagine it's like The Rock before he drops the people's helmet.
Yes, yes, yes. If you don't know, you better ask somebody! And he comes in. He's getting ready to take Grogan out. And then a couple of things happen all simultaneously. Let's see. Let's have Waylon, Leah, and Max all make perception checks for me.
22.
17.
18.
Ooh, fantastic rolls.
All of you around. Turn in time to see Grogan's head fall off.
No, all of you turn in time to see where it lands.
Goodbye.
We'll be right back after these messages. Hi, it's Brandon, here again to say thank you. Thank you guys for joining us this week. I hope you guys are enjoying it. I know we're having a lot of fun with this episode in particular. That said, I wanted to take a second and give you guys some notes I got here. First up, our next episode is going to be a special episode that features an old friend. So please tune in and enjoy that. It's going to be different. It's going to be fun. I dare say it may even be intimate. So check it out to see what I'm talking about. Along the vein of special episodes, Brian, with our friends over at NPC Incorporated, another D&D podcast that is part of the Machine Culture Collective, recently guest hosted a special one-shot of their show. So, check them out. That's NPC Incorporated. They are everywhere that you can find podcasts. That said, just like normal, please keep up the feedback. You guys have been wonderful. We really take your notes to heart, especially when it comes to technical stuff. So, if you're hearing stuff you don't like or you got some notes or anything like that, throw it our way, because this is a constant process of us trying to improve and give you guys something that is entertaining and, dare I say, easy on the ears. Other than that, keep up the interactions on social media. We really appreciate it. Again, we see everything, and you see that that can be fun and incorporated into the show. So check us out. Don't forget to share with your friends, justcrittingaround.com. Have a great rest of your day. We love you. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Do you have a passing fancy in anything death and funeral related? Do you love to laugh? Well, you have found the right podcast. Hi, it's Minda from Dead Girls Talking. Myself and my co-host Jenna, we are weird women of a certain age talking about the weird stuff that makes your weird little heart go pitter-patter.
Oh, yeah, that's her surprises tend to be like this. She bought us all a plot, and I don't have siblings, so it was just
happy
like,
birthday!
Yes, my mother, my father, and myself, she got us a cemetery. So, like, even in death, they expect that I'll move back in with them.
That was a good setup.
Yeah.
It's death, but it's also kind of funny. Check us out on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere where you get your podcast. Dead Girls Talking, check it out.
Well, hello, adventurers. Are you looking for all natural topicals to alleviate what ails you? Maybe a rapid headache relief that you roll on to soothe your pain. Perhaps a chemical-free insect repellent that fends off bugs on any plane of existence. Great for outdoor adventuring. Maybe a sleep serum, a joint muscle rub, burn relief gel. Hey, I hear it's good for radiant damage. Maybe some fizzy bath soaks to soothe your achy and tired muscles after a long day of adventuring or, you know, just existing. Or would you prefer custom fragrances that would make you the envy of all of your friends?
And foes.
Well, if so, check out Pookie's Potions for your handmade, all-natural perfumes and topicals. Find us and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Pookies, P-O-O-K-Y-S, Potions underscore N-C. And shop with us on Etsy at Pookies Potion, P-O-O-K-Y-S, P-O-T-I-O-N-S. Pookies Potions, because everyone deserves a little bit of magic every day.
So all of you see, just kind of out of the corner of your eye, this fight's just going. And your blood is rushing, the adrenaline's going. It's like, oh crap, we just escaped one group, and now another group. Ah, we're imminent doom. You're settled in for just a gnarly, we're gonna have to kill everyone kind of fight. And then you see these three bronze and silver orbs just kind of roll out from the kitchen from around the corner. And all three of them suddenly explode. And one of them dazes and just like blinds all of the wargs and all the bad guys who are looking inward at it. But Grogan, your back is to it, so you are not affected by this essentially a flashbang that's tossed out there. The other two... One emits this incredibly foul odor, and then the other essentially pops off this super fast growing cloud of smoke. All four of you can hear this. Grogan, you hear like just the sounds of like muffled explode, like something's happening behind you, but then all four of you can hear off in the distance just the sound of like shoo, 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 shoo. And the riders on the wargs that are facing you, Grogan, each get a arrow that comes through their chest, and they each slide off their saddles lifeless and fall in a heap next to them. And you hear in the background somebody way in the distance say,
"Ha ha! Wanderer!"
As soon as all of that has happened, the three of you still inside the dining hall, you see that the girl that you guys had abandoned comes dashing out, just runs right through the two stunned wargs and their riders, and like without pausing whatsoever, she says, "You guys better come with me if you want to live." And she just like, she hauls ass out the back of the thing. And she did have like this weird, kind of mask over her face that you had never seen before. I'm going to need some constitution saves. So the first one is going to be for Max and Leah and Waylon. I need the three of you to make three constitution saves to see how badly these things impact you. Grogan, I just need you to make two.
Okay.
So the first one that I want you to roll on is for the smell. So what did you guys roll on the smell?
11.
16.
7.
13.
So 13 was the DC. So if you rolled a 13 or higher, the smell is bad, but it doesn't bother you. If you rolled lower than a 13, you definitely feel like you need to puke. You can hold it in, but...
Guys, I don't feel... I don't feel so...
Oh, no, no, oh. I'm a sympathetic puker. Please don't.
You notice that all of the wargs, those inside and out, because they have sensitivity to smell, they are extremely affected by this, and they start... howling and puking, and both of the ones inside the dining hall buck their riders clean off because this has affected them so bad. Grogan, you don't have to roll on this one, but the rest of you, I want you to roll on another constitution check, and this is for the flashbang. Yeah, because you weren't expecting it, you didn't know, like, you know, when to avert your eyes. So roll that constitution saving throw, please.
So I rolled a nat 20.
I got a 9.
All right.
19.
Leah and Waylon, your eyes were super fast, and you're able to just like shake off the worst of the effects. Unfortunately, Max, not only do you feel like you got to puke now, your eyes just like you just get like just like a full face of it, and your geode eye goes blind. So,
oh no.
So you're not fully blinded, but you are operating at like half vision.
Okay.
So it is, you know, and you'll be making some balance checks to see if you can not teeter over.
Okay.
The third constitution check is going to be for the noxious smoke that fills in. So everybody needs to roll that one though.
17 plus 2 for a 19.
I got a 7.
16 plus 2 for an 18.
14.
Okay, so again, everyone does okay except for Max.
But I am resistant to poison and immune to disease. So I don't know if that makes a difference with noxious fumes.
Well, it's not. Fortunately, it's not going to do any damage to you, mainly because you're made of wood and metal. But for anybody who has flesh and didn't make the save, this noxious gas not only billows very quickly, filling the dining hall and just kind of pouring out both the front and the back, making visibility, like it cuts it down to like 5 feet in front of you.
Yikes.
It does like also, it's like, you know, like a pepper, it's like pepper spray. Like somebody just like threw some bear mace into the mix, and all of the bad guys are like scratching at their skin. Some are puking, some are, you know, dazed and just like, oh, my eyes. And so you guys now have the opportunity to get the heck out of Dodge before they can recover. Brogan, because you were right there when you saw Bibrib coming in to Clevia, the first thing that went off was the flashbang, which he did manage to kind of shield his eyes with, because he actively has a shield in his hands. Mm. But he does seem to be a little pukey, and he does seem to be kind of like scratching at his skin. But then the smoke just like fills the room, and now you can no longer see him because he was just like outside that 5 foot cube. So that's what just happened in rapid succession. And starting with, we'll go in the initiative order that you guys rolled, because we're still not out of combat yet. Leah, it's going to go Leah and then Grogan and then Waylon and then Max. And if you guys can get clear, you might be able to get out of combat. Leah, what are you doing?
I am taking the other route, and I am getting the heck on out of there. So back to the worm. We gotta drop low, and we, because smoke rises, and we're getting right back to the ground and worming out.
We need some kind of worm sound effect for every time does this.
Just like a.
Maybe not. Maybe not that one.
Have fun
in
editing
my mind,
that
it was
noise.
So much pure. Nope. God. Okay, so Leah, because you are warming, your speed is reduced by half, but that's still enough to get out of the back of the dining hall. So that is your movement. You can, if you take the dash action, you can use the rest of your, you can use your movement again if you want.
Yes, I've wormed out and peace, punch, Cap'n Crunch, I'm out of there. Let's dash.
Okay, so, the Horrible Folks of Fairrun, sponsored by Cap'n Crunch one day, maybe.
Oops, all fairies.
So, Leah, when you come running out, you see poking from around the corner of an alley, like two streets down, this young lady that you had attempted to save. She is like frantically waving you over and looking in like both directions of this alley.
I'm going right to her.
And so you're heading that direction. Awesome. All right. Then we go to Grogan. You know what? I kind of want to save Grogan because you're the most dramatic moment here. So we'll come back to you in a second. So we're going to go to Waylon and then Max and then Grogan.
See, now I'm so torn because I had options based on whatever Grogan was going to do next.
Quick.
All right, yeah, I'm going to pivot, and I see my good friend Max is just not having a good time at all. I want to run. I'm not going to be able to pick him up. Like, I know that. So I'm going to run, and I'm going to grab his hand, and I'm going to try and help guide him out the back door.
Okay. You have a lot of speed. You have a lot of movement. Yeah. So if you, like, you can get to him, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can use like the assist action to help him get out of there safely.
Yes, I'm going to run over there and I'm going to lend him help toward that door. Yep.
Between what's left over with your speed and Max's speed, you guys are able to get to the back door, no problem. So Max, out of nowhere, Waylon just appears and starts kind of guiding you towards the rear entrance of the dining hall. I assume that you're letting them take you because you're just kind of like caught up with the sneezing and barfing.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty gross. But the last thing I did was to taunt the two warg riders in the room. So as Waylon is leading me out, I'm gonna go, "Ignore me."
it comes out, "Ignore me." All right, so the two of you come out of the back entrance of the shattered dining hall, and you see that Leah is like making a beeline in a southwestern direction towards an alley where you see that young woman who is now like taking that mask off and frantically waving for all three of you to come to her.
I'm going to say to Max, "Buck up, stud. We got to go that way."
All right. So you are going to be affected in this manner for probably 10 minutes or so. So Max is going to need assistance to navigate to these these streets.
Oh, I am assisting him in any way I can. Poor guy. I'll hold his hair back. I'll hold his hand. You know, whatever
You've
he needs.
You got him reined in.
You're a good friend.
Thank you.
All right, so that leaves us to Grogan. You are essentially invisible in this smoke because it has enveloped you. You can hear the coughs and sputtering and yakking all around you. It's kind of gross to be surrounded in stereo sound by goblins and human raiders just yakking and howling and wargs just going crazy. What are you doing?
I'm getting the hell out of there. I'm tired of this and I'm hurt. So I go, "Stinks to lose, doesn't it, bitch ribs?" And I just take off. I bolt. I go through the house. I see my friends and I go, "Run, run, run, get the fuck out! Go, go, go!"
Okay, so let me just make sure I understand what you're doing. You're running back through the dining hall.
Yeah.
Which, again, you cannot see more than 5 feet in front
okay,
of you.
Okay, Brian, I go around the dining hall. I take the long way, but I'm gone.
It's okay. All right.
And the whole time I'm going,
why do I hear okay. that? Beep, 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 beep.
As you're like running around the corner, you do hear additional horns being blown an alarm kind of farther off in the village. So you know that there are others that are not yet on the scene, but they are on their way as one of the raiders managed to, in between puking, grab his horn and use it to call out. But it's kind of like a, you know, like try sounding an alarm in between pukes. It's not very, you know, like, so it's bad, but it's enough to kind of raise the alarm. So you guys aren't safe yet. As you come bolting around, Grogan, you see your friends that have now kind of gathered just inside the edge of this street alley, and they're all kind of waving at you. You get there to them with no problem, and all of you see standing in front of you this young woman who speaks very, very quickly. She says, "There's no time to explain. I'm sorry I stabbed you. My name is Poppy Danderfart. Special thanks to Jules Oliver IV III for this name."
she says that part.
it's parenthetical. It's parenthetical. Okay. It's parenthetical.
And we all look at each other perplexed, like, what?
The hell is going on here?
She says, "I can get us out, but you have to do as I do, move as I move, and be quick. And that one is going to need help." And she points at Max because Max is still 6'8" and puking.
Come on, big guy. Even though Grogan's hurt, I throw one of Max's arms over my shoulder as well.
All right, awesome.
And I look at my team and I go, "You guys didn't leave me."
Poppy says, "Shh, we can talk later. We have to move. Now, so I need all of you to make stealth checks. Now, what's going to happen is normally you would be rolling at disadvantage, Max, because of your armor. But because you have two people assisting you, I'll let you guys figure it out. Grogan, Waylon, one of you can roll your stealth check naturally. The other one is going to be rolling to like help Max. So Max, you'll be rolling just a normal stealth check. And then Grogan or Waylon, one of you will be rolling a normal stealth check, but the other will not because you're going to be helping Max. And then Leah, you'll be rolling. So this is a group stealth check. So essentially there are three because one of you is helping Max. I need two successes in order to pass. So figure out, Grogan, Waylon, which one of you is helping Max and which one of you is rolling on your own.
Well, I'm much bigger and I have a +6 to my stealth because
your stealth bonus being a rogue. Yeah, I mean that's go for it, buddy.
Okay.
All right, so Waylon, you're gonna help Max and Grogan's gonna roll on his own, yeah?
Yeah, I carry the weight of the world on my shoulders.
Aw. So I'm sure there's a pickle for that. Alright, so Max, Leah, Grogan, roll those stealth checks.
I got a 5.
17.
19
plus 6. Ooh, you are quiet. Mm-hmm. You are the knight. All right, so that's...
it's all that Tom Clancy Splinter Cell I played growing up in the Death Cult.
All right, that is two successes. So you guys passed the first check. You hear the sounds of raiders, you know, just kind of all around you. And Poppy is just kind of like motioning you guys, like when to move, when to stop, and just constantly looking back with, you know, the shush motion on her face and her hand. So now you need to make a second group stealth check. Same rules as the first one.
I got a 19.
Ooh.
20. Dirty 20.
Nice. 15.
All right. All three of you succeed with flying colors, and you guys notice that Poppy is very well-versed in these alleys. Like, she knows this. She seems to know this town very, very intimately because you're going through shops, like, not even knowing whether the shop has a back entrance or not. Like, for you guys, you're kind of just following her lead blindly, but she is super confident with the route that she's taking. And you can hear way in the distance, get them! Fight them! And I need you to make a third group stealth check.
I got a 10.
10.
That's the second time I've rolled a 19 plus 6. Man, my dice is loving me tonight. Holy shit.
Ooh. All right, well, so you are quiet as the night. Unfortunately, the other two are a little bit noisy, and you start to hear voices kind of coming nearby. It's like, hey, I think I heard something. So that's one failure. You guys can endure one more failure. So I need you to make a fourth group stealth check.
19.
17.
That is a dirty 20.
Nice. You guys very, very deftly maneuver. And Wayland, you're just kind of like helping shift freaking Max's weight and like just like grab him and move. Like, it's quite the comical sight, but you are doing an expert job.
Yeah. Hey, what can I say? You know, we all know our roles in this group, and mine is to, you know, do this.
Nice. Almost get everyone killed.
Okay. This is the last group stealth check you need to make to get out of the village. You have one failure, but everything else has been successes so far. So if you succeed this one, you guys are free and clear of the village and up into the hills that are southwest of the village with Poppy. If you fail this one, then the raiders will be alerted and we'll have to deal with that if it happens. So I need Leah, Grogan, Max, roll them bones.
Can I use a point of inspiration?
Yes, you can. That's how you use inspiration, Leah.
Yeah.
Leah just wants to hold on to it forever.
It's her precious. She keeps getting it. It's like, hey, here's extra bullets, but my magazine is full. Well, no one gets bullets now.
19.
That's good. That's what you need.
A 16.
Glad I didn't use it. 22.
Nice.
Woo.
All right.
Yeah, guys, team, we're sneaking so hard.
You guys sneak real hard. You guys sneak so, so hard. All right. After what seems like an eternity navigating and doubling back on her own route, Poppy leads you guys out of the village and into these foothills, and you keep going like for a good half mile until she finally lets up, and she takes you kind of and hides in like this thicket of trees and shrubbery, and she kind of takes a deep breath and then finally like exhales. What do you do?
Max throws up.
Well, I collapse to the ground because I'm tired and I'm very hurt.
I walk up to her. Thank you, Poppy. Oh God, what do we do? What do we do now?
You guys, they were after this, and I pull out the key as I lay there. I just kind of wave it around like Forrest Grump waving around ice cream.
Did you say Forrest Grump?
Forrest
Grump?
Forrest Grump is a very popular character. Yeah.
That's Grogan's new nickname.
Yes. It's his favorite movie.
Pralines and cream ice cream. There's Oreo cookie ice cream.
Max horsepower ice cream.
What are you doing, Waylon?
I squint my eyes and I look at the bone key and I go, that's your key, Allison Boney, right?
This is definitely Boney's fault. I don't know. I tried to break it during the fight, but man, this thing's hard. This bone is super hard. I don't get it. Normally I can. What? What? Come on.
This bone is super hard.
I'm trying to cater to the 12-year-old dynamic of myself, all right? So, anyway, yeah. Anyway, sorry, I got sidetracked there for some reason. The voices in my head were fucking me up again. Listen, I don't know what they want with this thing, but maybe Poppy here can tell us more. Take it away, Poppy.
Max throws up again.
Some got on my foot. Damn it.
I reach in my pack and I hand him a Harry's brush.
I hope those boots weren't suede. That will definitely stain.
Poppy takes another deep breath, looks at each of you, and says, all right, I'll tell you what I know. And that's where we're going to end tonight's session.
She says that? That's weird. Hey, guys, what do you think she means by that?
Yeah. Poppy is breaking the fourth wall a whole lot.
She's my Deadpool character.
Poppy lives in her own space.
Just Critting Round Podcast is Brian Dukes as the Dungeon Master, Brandon Stevens as Waylon Picklefist, Jay Zeta as Max Horsepower, Deshaun D.B. Byron as Wanderer, Aaron Hensley as Leoror Jimvale, and Joe Kovas as Grogan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at Just Critting Round Podcast, on Twitter at Critting Just, and Just Critting Around, all one word, on Instagram. Feel free to drop character names you would like to hear on the show in the comments. It may just land you a shout-out in a future episode. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back to continue our adventure in 2 weeks. See you then.